Deuteronomy 30, and let's read verse 19 by way of review. Verse 19, a wonderful statement. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. Would everybody say life and death?
Life and death.
That's door A and door B. You've got a choice. There's door A where there's life, and there's door B where there's death. In the realm of life is blessing. In the realm of life is good, the good life. In the realm of death is cursing, evil, the things you don't want, the kingdom of darkness. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Everybody say blessing and cursing. And please mark this, circle it if you've not marked it in your Bible. Therefore, choose life. Therefore, choose life. God has given us the power of choice. You can choose which path your life will go on. Now, you know, as we've said, most people in this world, they don't understand that. Most people live their life, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Well, I hope I'm one of the lucky ones. I hope things just work out for me in life. When in fact, the Bible says, therefore, choose life. Say it. Therefore,
choose life.
In other words, we have the power to choose what kind of life we're going to have. We have the power to choose what kind of experiences and path we're going to be on. Aren't you glad God gave us a choice?
Right.
I'm so glad He didn't say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a Christian by his toe. Whichever one you get, don't let him go. We'll bless him. The rest of them don't get it. He says, therefore, choose life, mark it, that both thou and thy seed may live. Now, we spent a great deal of time talking about this. We've spent a great deal of time talking about the fact that we can choose. And this will make some of you glad and some of you sad. But you are where you are today. I said you are where you are today to a great degree because of the choices that you've made. Now, see, some people, they buck against that and they don't want to hear that because maybe they're not happy with where they are. But guess what? The choices that you've made comprise your life. Your life is a series of choices. A lot of people go through life blaming others. Well, the reason I'm... Oh, no, wait a minute, Jason. The reason I'm like I am is because of what so-and-so has done. The reason I'm like I am is because that guy at the corporation, he just didn't like me, and he tried to blackmail me, and oh, it's their fault. Well, everybody has difficulties, and everybody has hard knocks, but guess what? It's like my daddy said. My daddy, before he got saved, he was a gambling man. Hallelujah. And so he's got some of that gambling wisdom still in him. And my dad said, son, you may not be able to help the hand of cards they deal you, but if you play them right, you'll win anyway. Praise God. See, attitude makes a lot of difference. You need to have an attitude this, well, okay, maybe they didn't treat me right, maybe they didn't do me right, but guess what? I choose life. I choose life. And if I'm not getting the blessing here, then I'll go over here and another door open up, and God will get the blessing over there. Why? Because I'm serving God. I'm a servant of God. And He's given me door A or door B. Now, you know, just in case somebody is too dumb to pick the right one, He says there's life and there's death. There's blessing and there's cursing. He even tells us which one to choose. He says, therefore, choose life. I mean, just in case you know somebody's an idiot out there and doesn't know which door to get, he gives you the answer. Amen. Aren't you glad God not only gives you the test question, He gives you the answer. Hallelujah. That's my kind of test. That's the kind I can pass. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Now, how do you choose? See, this is the big question. How do you choose? How do you choose? Let's go back to verse 14 by way of review. Go back to verse 14. How do you choose? He says, but the word is very nigh unto thee. Mark this if you haven't done it. The word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth. Circle that. In thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest, circle this, do it. And so there is a heart and a mouth connection. The way that you choose is by what you're believing in your heart, by what you're saying with your mouth, and by what you're doing with your feet. Faith equates to this. You must see it, you must say it, and you must do it. Whatever you're believing for, if you're believing God for business promotion, if you're believing God for business breakthrough, if you're a minister like me wanting to get on radio, whatever, you've got to first see it in your heart, then you've got to start saying it with your mouth, and most of all, you've got to walk it out with your feet and begin to do it. You've got to start somewhere. Well, I'd like to start at the top. Well, you can't. You just got to start where you are. If you're not at the top, start where you are. And so you see it, you say it, and you do it. Repeat that. You see it, say it. One more time. You see it,
say it, and do it.
That's how you choose. That's how you choose. What you're seeing is part of your choosing. What you're saying is part of your choosing. And what you're doing is a great part of your choosing. James makes it very clear. See, a lot of people, they just talk about faith in the sense of what you say. Faith is a whole lot more than what you say. Faith is what you see, first of all. A parakeet can say things. Faith is what you see. Faith is what you say. Most of all, faith is what you do, that thou mayest do it. James says a man may say, I have faith, and he has no works. He says, try to show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my actions. I'm doing something. Now, this is so important to choosing life. A lot of people, as we've said, they're going to go through life, barreling through life, hoping things work out. Make things work out. How do you make things work out? You make things work out by what you're seeing in your heart, what you're believing in your heart, by what you're saying with your mouth, and the actions that you take. And go back to verse 19. Heaven and earth will back you up. The powers of heaven and earth must enforce your decisions. There are powers in the heavens. There's God's angelic powers, but I want you to know there's Satan and his demons. There are spiritual powers in the heavenlies. There are powers on the earth. And in verse 19, basically what the man's saying is, heaven and earth will back up whatever you choose. Whatever you choose, the angels and the demons must go into motion to enforce your choices, either for life or for death. Therefore, choose life. All right, now go with me to the book of Hebrews. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. And I want to go to chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. And I want us to begin to talk about the patriarch's secret for releasing the blessings of God. We've just alluded to some of it. And those of you that have not been able to be with us in the other sessions, I do encourage, if at all possible, get the conference set. And you'll need to wear two pair of socks when you listen to it, because I know one will get blessed off. Amen. You'll just have to wear two pair of socks. Warning, must wear two pair of socks to listen to those tapes. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11. We're talking about releasing the blessings of God. We're talking about a secret that the patriarchs knew. Well, Moses is considered one of the patriarchs. And Moses said what? He said, the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. So we know that's part of the secret, that you may what? Do it. Look at this wonderful verse, verse 20. Hebrews 11, verse 20. Now you parents, you perk up here, because this will be worth you coming tonight for. Hebrews 11, verse 20. It says, by faith, everybody say by faith.
By faith.
So I want you to, right off the bat, mark this in your notes. In order to get the blessings, you got to have faith. So you're going to be saved by, oh, brother, no, I hope you're not just one of those faith people. Yes, I'm a faith person. Honey, you're not ever going to be saved without faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And whatever you do for God, whether it's homemaking or business or ministry, whatever you do, you're going to have to do it by faith. Now, I realize there's been abuses and extremes and so forth like that. But, honey, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I mean, you know, if somebody misrepresents prayer, are we going to quit praying? I've been all over the world, and I've seen the Buddhists pray, you know, the Muslims pray, all different kind of people pray. Well, we better not teach on prayer, then that's dangerous. See the error of that? I've seen people, you know, buttonhole people on the streets and try to win them to Christ in a wrong manner. Well, I guess we shouldn't, you know, try to witness anymore. You start backing up, you're going to back up on everything. Faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Everybody say thank God.
Thank God.
For the measure of faith.
For the measure of faith.
Verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Do you see that? Parents, mark this. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Mark it. Concerning things to come. You need to realize that when you begin to bless other people, you have a prophetic shaping power. You can prophetically shape the future of other people. Parents, you can prophetically shape. I didn't say pathetically shape. Amen. You can prophetically shape the future of your children by simply blessing them. My children, I bless them. I bless them with the words of my mouth. At night, I'll just kneel down by the bed and we say prayers. And I'll put my hands on them, my little boy. And I'll say out loud, Ryan, Daddy blesses you in the name of Jesus. Ryan, you're a smart boy. You have Jesus living in you. I say that you will have a life of success. I say that you will have a life of service to God. I say that the blessings of God's wisdom for your plan and your mission in life will become clear to you. Ryan, I say that God's abundance belongs to you. Now, I'll tell you what, they hear that over and over and over and over, and just like a hammer and a chisel as an artist, I'm shaping and prophetically molding their future. Parents, there's power in blessing. And be warned, there's power in cursing. There's power in cursing for evil. And if you tell your children, why, you know, you stupid, you idiot, you're a dummy, you never do anything right, and they hear that, you're chiseling out something that you're not going to want once you get it done. And you're harming them and you're hurting them. And we need to understand, as James said, out of our mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, and it ought not to be. We need to ask God to tame our tongue so that we speak the blessings. So that we speak the blessings. Are you getting hold of this? When we speak to one another, you spouses, you ought to speak one another blessing. You know, and it's so easy. See, Martha and I, we've just celebrated our 17th wedding anniversary. Sweet 17. Amen. Just seems like yesterday, amen, that I fell in love with her under the prayer tower. Oh, yes. Old Roberts University, supposed to be praying under that prayer tower. I was looking at her, amen. And she's got a $1 million smile, doesn't she? I mean, I believe you can see every tooth in her head when she smiles. She's just got such a big, pretty smile. And that was one of the first things that attracted me to her, you know, that smile, amen. But, you know, listen to me. You that are married, you listen to me. It's so easy to become so familiar with one another, you begin to see each other after the flesh instead of after the Spirit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You become so familiar with each other. By that I mean you begin to see each other's weak areas. You begin to see each other where you miss it. And it's so easy just to assume that, well, she's really not a woman of God. He's really not a man of God. We need to see each other after the Spirit. And we need to speak blessings to one another. Honey, you did good. There's nothing wrong with saying that. Honey, you did good. You sang that song really good. You were poised in front of the crowd. And I tell you, I was so proud of the way the gift of God's operating through you. See, you need to be able to say that. And then say it back to me once in a while. Amen. Say it back to me. Jason, you did good. Praise God. You preached so good. Praise God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Mark verse 20, never forget it. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Mark it. Concerning not things yesterday, things to come. You can mold and shape the future by the power of blessing. You can mold and shape the future by the power of blessing. Look at verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, mark it, blessed both the sons of Joseph. That was Manasseh and Ephraim. And worshipped, mark the word worship because that's important in the realm of blessing, and worshipped leaning upon his staff. I mean, here this guy is, you know, just about to die. I mean, when you're about to die, you think of important things. Amen? I said, when you're about to die, whatever's important to you, you start thinking of that. And so this guy, he's about to die. He's getting close to the end of his life. And he takes the time to specifically bless these two young men. And he worshipped. And so you need to take the time. Now, you businessmen, you listen to me. Those of you that are raising children, you listen to me. You need to take the time. Everybody say, take the time.
Take the time.
Now, that's where, I mean, to get the seed in the ground, it takes time. You just can't, you know, we're used to cook control 80%, microwave time, 1 minute, bing, we want a 1 minute miracle. Microwave. You know, kind of like the popcorn. Just watch it expand before our eyes. Well, bless God, I had to persevere for 30 seconds. I'm telling you what, it was really tough. But we've got to take the time to just walk around our homes or walk around our offices, or maybe you're driving down the road in your car, and just begin to sow in the Spirit with the blessing. Begin to sow in the Spirit with the words of your mouth. What you're believing in your heart and what you begin to release it with your mouth. Father, I just thank you. Oh, I just thank you that I'm on radio stations coast to coast with the most. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I can just thank you. I just begin to worship you. I worship you for radio conferences all over the country. Lord, I worship you. Well, Jason, you don't have them. Concerning things to come. Concerning things to come. And so this is the proof is in the pudding. You begin to worship God. You begin to give Him the glory. You begin to speak the blessing. You begin to speak the blessing. And you know what? The powers of heaven and the powers of earth must and will begin to respond according to what you believe and what you say. They will. They will. And you begin to shape your own future. And you begin to shape the future of those things you pray about. You businessmen, you ought to be going around saying, Father, I just worship you. I thank you that my efforts are blessed. Oh, Lord, I thank you that you're drawing new clients to me. Oh, Father, I just thank you that new contacts and doors are coming to me. I thank you the money's rolling in. Not rolling out, rolling in. Hallelujah. Right. I mean, we got to wake up, folks.
Right.
Amen. About the people you shouldn't be talking about money. You think about it. I mean, on Friday when the guy says, here's your pay. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But we get in church and everybody starts talking about money. Well, don't talk about that. Money's important. Money's important.
Right.
Verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon his staff. Verse 22. You talk about things to come. Some 400 plus years ahead of the time, Joseph was talking about his bones. Praise God. Look what it says, verse 22. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Hallelujah. You're talking about what faith can do. And faith always, always, and always involves what you can't see yet. Well, brother, I'll believe it once I see it. That's not faith. Go over to verse 27, talking about Moses. By faith, everybody say by faith.
By faith.
It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Please mark this. This tells you a lot about faith and blessing. For he endured as seeing him who is what? Invisible. Now I want to take just a moment and go through an illustration that we went through this morning in our sessions. Those of you that were here, don't give it away. Who was not here? I need to draft a volunteer. You weren't here this morning. Wait, yes, come up. Yes, look at the response. She's bounding from her seat. Tell me your name.
Sue Ann.
Stand right here, Sue Ann. Face that way. And now listen, there's no way to answer this right, so don't feel bad, all right? We don't want to have to pray and give you inner healing after this, all right? Emotional healing. But I'm going to give you a mirror. Hold this, if you would. And try to adjust it where you can see me. Now watch this, folks. This will help you so much in the realm of blessing, in the realm of faith, because we said it concerns things what? Not seen. Things not seen. Now, your faith is like this mirror. Your faith is like this mirror. Whatever you see, you can get. Have you heard that old phrase, what you see is what you get?
Yeah.
Honey, that's more true than you may realize. What are you seeing about your future? Now, Suzanne, right? Suzanne, whatever you see, you can have in the mirror. Are you looking? All right, keep your faith up there. Your faith is falling down there. Keep your faith up there. Suzanne, what do you see? An apple. Who said that? Does she see an apple? I see some people out there going, no, don't turn around, Suzanne. You must look in the mirror of faith. What do you see again? An apple. Now watch this. Watch in my hand. You can't have my hand. Okay. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Now again, don't feel bad, all right? Because nobody could answer this properly unless they're really smart. There goes inner healing. Amen. You're not really seeing an apple. You're seeing the reflection of an apple. Now watch this. Your faith sees what is not actually present, but yet your faith, watch this, is evidence, just like the reflection, like the image of the apple, is proof and evidence that the real thing, what? Exists. So your faith and what you are seeing and believing is proof that the real thing exists. Now, Suzanne is very confident that I'm holding an apple, but she has not seen the real apple. She is seeing the reflection of the real apple. Are you getting that? Look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. I'm holding your hands up now because I know it's getting tired. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Mark it. The evidence of things not seen. Now, Suzanne, turn around, and with quiet confidence, there it is. What you are seeing is really here. And I know you don't want an apple, so I'm going to give you one of these tape sets up here. Instead of an apple, do you want the 10 keys for victory or the communion of the Holy Spirit? Which one of those would you prefer? Tough decision. 10 keys. Give her a great big hand clap. Thank you, Suzanne. Now, that little illustration to me will do so much. It has done so much for my concept of faith. I need to hold in my mind's eye, as it were, or the eye of faith, or the eyes of my heart. I need to see my children blessed. I need to see my children obeying God. I need to see my son serving God, my daughter serving God. And then I need to release that image upon them. And guess what? That's proof and evidence that the real thing's coming.
Yeah.
Numbers. Go with me to the book of Numbers. Are you learning something? Numbers. Numbers chapter 6. Now we just got through looking at Jacob. We got through looking at the patriarchs there. I want you to see this passage in Numbers 6, beginning with verse 22, in light of this secret for releasing the blessings of God. We saw Isaac concerning things to come. Jacob blessed those sons. Joseph released faith and blessing concerning his very own bones. Now let's look at number 6, beginning with verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying... Now you mark this in your Bible. Here's what God told Moses about the blessing. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying... On this wise, verse 23, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, mark it, saying unto them. On this wise, can I just paraphrase that? Here's how you do it. He's saying to them, here's how you bless them. You got to say unto them something. And as you say unto them something, the blessing is applied. Verse 23. On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Now look what they say. Look how good this is. Look at verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Isn't that good news? There were those priests. Now these were the priests of that day. And I think you understand that in the New Testament we are all kings and priests unto God. He says in verse 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, mark this, and give thee peace. Now, verse 27, honey, you need to put a star by verse 27. Get you a yellow marker. Get you a pink marker. Bless God, go get you a Christmas pen that writes in gold. And mark verse 27. Shame on you if verse 27 is not marked by tonight. Verse 27, and they shall put my name upon. Everybody say upon. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. Mark it. And I will bless them. You've got to say it, and then I can do it. You've got to say it, and then I can do it. Now, I just want to take time with this and use really a ridiculously simple example just to drive the point home. How many of you have ever been involved in some type of project where you have to paint a room or paint a home or something, you know, paint? Amen. Isn't that the kind of thing, just look, oh, I'm just so excited about painting. Amen. It's kind of like going to the doctor's office. Oh, thank God, I get to go to the doctor's office. Today. Oh, the smell of the alcohol swab. Oh, yes. It's one of those jobs, you know. But when you get ready to paint, guess what? You must get the paint from the can onto the wall. Is that the general idea?
Right.
Now, honey, there's different ways to do that. You could. I just believe you won't. You could take that can and just whip it up there, praise God, and tell them your job is done. And whoever you help, they won't consider it a blessing. Amen? That's one way of application. The other way is to take a brush. Everybody say a brush.
Right.
You dip it in the can and you apply it to the wall. And then there's a roller. You could use a roller. There's a sprayer. There's different means of application. Now watch this. The Lord is saying, here's my blessing. I've got my blessing. And we want to get the blessing from here on to the people. Now the means of application is saying unto them. You must say unto them, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord be gracious unto you. In other words, you must speak good things. You must speak things of life, things of good, things of blessing. And as you do that, that's just like spray painting the people with the blessings of God. Hallelujah. And look at verse 27. He says, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, mark it, and I will bless them. You get up there with the applicator and you can be confident my blessing will come upon them. You need to start declaring. You need to start declaring your blessing. You need to start decreeing your blessing. Have you ever heard that old phrase? Well, I declare. They say that down and say, well, I declare. Do tell. You ever heard those? Do tell. I'll be. Well, I'll be. What will you be? What will you declare? Well, I declare. Go ahead, do it. Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Well, you can have it, not me. Go ahead. That's what you declare. That's what you want. Do tell. Go ahead and tell it. What are you going to tell your children? What are you going to tell your business? What are you going to tell the principalities and the powers? The Apostle Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Now, honey, you got to understand, you're going to have to wrestle for your blessing. I mean, the devil's not just up there going, well, you know, hey, it's a sure shot, it's an automatic thing, go ahead. As a police officer stands in the road, holds up his hand, and enforces the law, you're going to have to enforce your blessing and the blessings of those around you with your faith. And with your declarations and with your decrees and with your proclamations and what you say. And so, see, at first your flesh doesn't want to do this. I mean, at first your mind goes tilt. I mean, at first your mind says, walking around the room speaking things, walking around the room praying out loud. I mean, you know, after all, somebody might hear me. Honey, they might hear you. Who cares if they hear you? The world will blow smoke in your face if you let them.
That's right.
They don't care what you think. You need to get to the point where you don't care what they think. Amen? Somebody might see me. Well, go ahead and do it louder. They might see you and hear you. Praise God. Be bold. Amen? Be bold. Be bold. But you've got to learn to get comfortable walking around in your home, your office, and just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My finances are blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Every bill is paid. Thank you, Jesus, that this house is sold. If you're trying to sell your home, thank you, Jesus, this house is sold. They say it's not going to sell. I say it's going to sell. I thank you, Father. There's somebody out there that needs a house, and they're looking for a house, so this will be a blessing to them. It'll be a blessing to me. It'll be a win-win situation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that new doors are opening up. Thank you, Jesus, my children. Thank you, Jesus, their college is paid for. Thank you. And you begin to speak the blessings. You begin to enforce. Everybody say enforce.
Enforce.
Everybody say enforce.
Enforce.
See, with your faith, you begin to enforce that. You begin to enforce that. I declare. What do you declare? Do tell. Go ahead and tell it. Tell it to who? Tell it to yourself. Tell it to God. And tell it to every principality and power. Tell it. Ezekiel 37. Go with me to Ezekiel 37. Now you're talking about a wild story. We're getting ready to read one. Ezekiel 37. We're talking about a valley full of dry bones. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. And this tells us something about the patriarchal secret. Are you beginning to get the picture of what the secret is? I mean, it's not that difficult. The secret is you take your mouth and you apply the blessing. Mm-hmm. Well, that's so simple. Thank God.
Yes.
Yeah. Other people's eyes expect something real complicated. I want something really intricate. Complicated. I want something deep. It always bothers me when somebody says, oh, I'll tell you what, I've got a deep revelation. My little warning signs go whoop, 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 whoop. Reminds me of, how many of you ever heard of Jerry Savelle? He said this person came up to him after one of the conferences and says, Brother Jerry, the Lord has showed me things. You don't teach them. Brother Copeland doesn't teach them. Old Roberts doesn't know about them. John Osteen doesn't know about them. But I know them, and I've put them on this tape, and I'd like you to listen to this tape this afternoon, and just between me and you, I'm sharing it with you. Tell me what you think. He said he put it in for about 60 seconds. That night he went back, found that person. He said, ma'am, I don't even think Jesus knows about these things. I mean, they've gotten real deep way out there. Amen. Listen, if something gets so complicated that your brain can't quite understand it, I found this. God's principles work for children. I mean, I understand there's some historical things and data that may, you know, require research, but the principles of life that really work, they're so simple a child can get hold of them. And so the patriarch's secret is very simple. They understand, number one, that blessing was their heritage. They understood that the blessing of God was their heritage. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. They understand they had to choose it. And they understand the mechanism of choosing was the heart and the mouth connection. What I call the heart and the mouth connection. The heart and the mouth connection dictates your direction. The heart and the mouth connection dictates your direction. It's your autopilot in life. It's concerning things to come. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Now, can you imagine? Thank you, Pastor Jim. Can you imagine that experience? Where the Holy Spirit, I guess you would call it an out-of-body experience, where Ezekiel is flying through the air and he's taken to this valley that is full of dry bones. Now watch this. This is most interesting. Some Bible commentators feel that Ezekiel, in this vision, saw some of those ditches after World War II that were full of bones of Jewish people from the Holocaust. Because this passage that we're reading, I don't have time to expound fully on this, but this passage that we're reading is talking about the historical restoration of the nation of Israel. How many of you realize that in 1947, 1948, Israel was restored as a nation? That is the biggest calendar landmark date on God's prophetic timetable for our generation. Now, I realize that that's the prophetic, natural, historical significance of this. And some people feel that as he flew over that, he saw the decimation, the horror of the Holocaust, and God was saying, is it possible that a nation could come together again after such destruction. Now, as we study this, not only will we see the historical side of things, but watch this, there's some basic principles in here concerning the power of blessing. There's basic principles in what this man has to do to get those bones to come together in the vision. We can understand how we can get our dry areas, our drought areas, coming together for the blessing of God. Are you hearing that? Verse 2. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? How many of you have ever seen those horrifying pictures of what happened after the Holocaust, those ovens and those concentration camps and what they did, genocide to the Jewish people, what they tried to do? And I mean, can you imagine being asked, you're standing over a valley full of bones and God says, can these bones live? He said the only thing that really anybody could say, I said, oh God, only thou knowest. Verse 4. Again he said unto me, mark this in your Bible. Now this is the principle that you must learn for your life. Prophesy unto these bones. Mark it. And say unto them. Prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You need to learn to stand in prayer and prophesy over your business. Prophesy over your future. Prophesy over your children. You need to speak concerning things to come. Any way you cut that, that's prophetic. There's a prophetic shaping power to our blessing and what we say. We need to learn to stand and sow into the Spirit. Sow into the Spirit. You know, people all usually only use that verse about sowing in the Spirit when they're receiving an offering. And I mean, I believe that is part of sowing in the Spirit. But honey, some of the greatest seed you'll ever sow is just in prayer and decree and declaration and proclamation and prophecy, speaking concerning things to come. That's where the real seed is. We need more of that. I said we need more of that.
Right,
we need believers that spend time with God. That's what we need.
Right. Hallelujah.
Verse 5. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, now this is Ezekiel having to say this. See, God is not going to come down and speak to your bones. Do you hear me? I said, God is not going to come down and speak to your situation. You're going to have to do it. He's given the authority into your hands. And so this man standing there, verse 5, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. Mark it, mark it, mark it. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, look at this, as I prophesied, behold, there was a noise, and a shaking, and bone came together, bone to his bone. I want you to know when you stand in that place of decree, declaration, prayer, proclamation, prophetic utterances in the Spirit, taking the word of the Lord and speaking it over your affairs, there will be a noise and a shaking and there will be some rattling and things will start coming together. Hallelujah. Brother Peebles, I just believe if God said it, it'd be powerful. But Brother Peebles, where's God's mouth? On your face.
Right.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
And I'll tell you another great revelation that you may not understand. Where's the devil's mouth? On your face. You better let God get hold of it. You know what God's voice sounds like? Your voice. Your voice. God sounds like your voice. When the Holy Ghost begins to manifest through a person, He uses them. I mean, that's not too complicated, is it? He uses you. And so if you have a southern drawl, God's voice is going to sound like a southern drawl.
Right.
If you have a northern accent, then you're, the voice of God coming out of you will sound like a northern accent. If you speak in Spanish, God's voice will sound like Spanish. God uses the vessel. And so this man, can you imagine this man? And God says, I want you to go there. I want you to prophesy out of that valley of bones. To the bones? They're just bones. Go prophesy to them. Bones. Now, honey, listen to me. I'm going to teach you something here. You guys got to start praying, and you got to start decreeing and proclaiming in the Spirit with some enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah.
It says the earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man availeth much, making tremendous power available. And I'm not talking about running to all your neighbors and telling them all of your great dreams. See, a lot of people, they hear about this whole thing of be sure to speak the blessing. First thing they do is they want to call everybody on their call list and tell them everything that's going to happen in the future. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you getting alone in the privacy of your home, in the privacy of your office or in your car, and you need to spend time speaking into the Spirit. That's where it really happens. Not on the phone, on the gossip line. Amen? 1-900-GOSSIP. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, something happened. Look at verse 8. When I beheld, lo, sinew, flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, mark it again, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say, mark it, say, the way you prophesy as you say, the way you bless as you say, say to the wind, thus says the Lord God. You need to stand, thus says the Lord God to my finances. Thus says the Lord God over my children. Thus says the Lord God concerning my ministry. Thus says the Lord God concerning my wife, concerning my husband, concerning my future. Thus says the Lord God, verse 9, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied. This guy was at least obedient, amen? He did what he was told. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. Mark it, here's what will happen to your circumstances. They lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Thank God Israel was restored as a nation. Israel is alive and well on planet Earth. You can't turn on CNN News and they're talking about Israel. They're talking about Jerusalem, the cup of trembling. I want you to know we are so close. We are so close. I mean, we're talking microseconds now on the God's clock. But there's lessons here for us. It's not just, why isn't that really sweet for Israel? Hallelujah. You need to start taking the lessons that this man learned and prophesying over your life. Prophesying over your future. Now look at verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Look at verse 10. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Did you know once didn't do? Now, some of you, you're going to face problems where you can grab that refrigerator verse and go out and we just beat the devil all day long with that refrigerator verse. You know, you have those little 5-minute quickie quiet times? The upper room. Hallelujah. Let's read our upper room devotional. And you're going to get the revelation out of that and you can whip up on the devil. But I want you to know there's some things in life that you're going to face one time won't do. Honey, the refrigerator verse won't do. You're going to have to spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, one day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, 5 day, 7 day. I just by faith believe it won't be like Noah 100 years. Now you know why those guys ended up in the chapter we called the heroes of faith. Any microwave cook control 80% Christian can stand for 5 minutes and say a little blessing. But it takes somebody with some fortitude and steel in their backbone to keep going, keep going, keep going, driven by the promises of God. Are you hearing me? You know, I told the students at the Christ for the Nations, I said, I'm so tired of seeing Bible school students come out thinking they're going to start off with a 1,000-member church and driving a big old Cadillac. Come on. I said, we need some people out here. I don't need sparkler Christians. Bless God, bottle rocket Christians. And they're gone. Get their little graduation paper. Hallelujah. And it's gone. We need some marathon runners. Amen. We need some people that are willing to start at the bottom and be faithful and just keep going, just keep going, keep going. You're in it not for the money. You're in it because you love God. And I shook him up a little bit. Amen. I like to shake him up. There was a noise and there was a shaking. Praise God. All right. Go with me to Mark 11. Mark 11. Amen. Amen. Are you learning something? You say, how late are you going to keep us? Well, just as late as we need to. I mean, listen, before you were saved, you stay out the bars all night. Why not just stay in God's house? Amen? I mean, do you think they're out there in the bars going, I'll tell you, it's getting late. It's 8:45.
No way.
You know.
I've not got there yet.
Really? Really? Well, we've heard that song by Poison before. We don't need to be here. So just let's all stand up for a minute. Just stand, just fluff your pillow a little bit. Amen. You know what I mean? Praise God. Just stand up and fluff your pillow a little bit. All right. Get up on your toes. Rock around a little bit. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God for this meeting.
Thank God for this meeting.
All right. Sit back down. Amen. Mark 11. This will be our last chapter for study. Mark 11. verse 12. Mark 11, verse 12. You talk about a strange story. We've been reading them tonight. Look at Mark 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. Now see, normally when the leaves are on a fig tree, from what I've read, that means there's fruit there. This tree had the leaves come out, but there was no fruit there. And look what Jesus does. Look at verse 14. You ought to mark this. And Jesus answered. Now, am I misreading something? Did the tree say anything to Jesus? It says he answered. Verse 14, and Jesus answered. Did you know your circumstances are talking to you? Your circumstances are saying, you can't pay your bills. That job arena out there is saying, they're laying people off, and you're next. That college catalog is saying to some young people, I'm too expensive for you. You better answer it. Well, I declare. Everybody say, well, I declare.
I declare.
Everybody say, well, I'll be.
I'll be.
Everybody say, do tell.
Do tell.
Well, you better start telling it. Look at verse 14. And Jesus answered and said, do tell. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples, mark this, heard it. I mean, he said it with such proclamation and decree audibly that they knew exactly what the man had said. Now see, by this time the disciples had gotten somewhat smart. And they knew not to ask Jesus what he was doing, because, you know, they were always embarrassing themselves. So I can just imagine them. He's talking to trees now. I mean, they'd seen him raise the dead, you know, multiply fish. I mean, they were just used to it all. So Jesus over there talking to this tree, no fruit come upon thee for hereafter. They're going, he's doing it again. He's doing it again. I just kind of fade over this way, you know. We don't know. He's at it again. He's at it again. Do you believe it? Peter, oh yes, I believe it. Thomas, I doubt it. I really do. I doubt it. I doubt it. Now, for the sake of time, go down to verse 20. Go down to verse 20. And in the morning, this is the next day, obviously. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree, mark this, dried up from the roots. Now, you know, that's interesting. It dried up from the roots. It didn't get diseased from the top down. It started from the roots. And when we speak blessing, it goes to the root of the person. When we speak curses over people, it goes to the root. When we speak blessing over our situations, it goes to the root of the situation. When we speak curses to our situation or to ourselves, it hits right at the root where everything is determined. Verse 21. Thank God for Peter. He always spoke up. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Now, you ought to mark verses 22 down through 24. If they're not marked in your Bible, mark verses 22 through 24. Some of the greatest verses in all of the Bible on faith and on the power of blessing and cursing. Verse 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Or, I encourage you to write this in the margin of your Bible. Another version says, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Or another version says, have God's kind of faith. Now again, can you imagine the disciples standing there going, okay, how does the fig tree correlate to our lesson here on faith, Jesus? I mean, Peter just said, look at the tree. And Jesus says, have the faith of God. And he goes, how have we gone from fig trees to faith? Look at the tree. And Jesus says, have the faith of God. And he goes, how have we gone from fig trees to faith? He's about to teach him. Look at verse 23. He points back to what he said the day before. And he's talking about the power of what you say. Verse 23. Jesus says this, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, mark it, shall say, that whosoever, mark it, shall say unto this mountain. It works on a fig tree. It works on a mountain. It works over a valley full of dry bones. It works over the people of Israel. It works. Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Circle the word heart there, because we looked this morning at the heart and the mouth connection. The heart and the mouth connection. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which, mark it again, he saith shall come to pass, he shall have, mark it again, whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Peter, isn't that amazing what has been done to the fig tree? But Peter, I tell you this, it doesn't only work on a fig tree. If this mountain over here were in your way, any problem, any circumstance, if you will believe in your heart, and if you'll launch it forth like a rocket launcher with your mouth, and you'll not waver and you'll not doubt, you can have what you say. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Circle the word desire, because, honey, you better get you some desires. I'm so tired of Christians. By the peoples, I'm sanctified and I have no desires. You liar. You're a liar. You know, they just want to impress you with their holiness. They're so humble and they're plumb proud of it. Brother Peoples, I have no desires. I would never desire anything. We'll just take you down to the mall and let's see if you have any desires. You ever seen those women at the mall? I mean, desire just begins to rise up. Oh. They pray in tongues a moment. Oh, they interpret, charge it. Charge it. I believe the Lord. Thus saith God, charge it. Discover. American Express. Look at verse 24. MasterCard. Look at master the possibilities. Look at verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever, mark it, you desire when you pray. You see, you've got to have some desires when you're praying. I mean, you're just wasting your time if you're not praying with desire and fervency and earnest. What things soever you desire when you pray, mark it, believe that you received them. The tense there in the original is past tense. Believe that you received them, mark this, and you shall, future tense, have them. So at the moment of praying, you should say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus, I'm a pilot. Thank you, Jesus, I have an airplane. Oh, God, I just give you glory. I just give you praise that you're going to enable me to have an airplane. I say it's mine, I have it now. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I did that many years ago, and now I'm flying an airplane. Are you kidding? At the time I did that, I sat out there at the airport. I didn't have money to take a lesson, much less own an airplane. Then finally, God gave us the money, and I took the lessons. And then finally, we had our first airplane. Now we've got our second airplane. And honey, it's loaded with good equipment. I mean, it's loaded with equipment. Did it happen the first day? No. Did it happen the first year? No. Did it happen the second year? No. But I want you to know, if you will hang on to your faith, it will happen.
Right.
Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Desire. Well, Brother Peoples, I could be desiring the wrong thing. Yes, you could. But look at this. If you're walking in a white-hot love affair with Jesus, and you're staying in His Word, your desires will begin to change to His desires.
Yes.
And if you're desiring something that's not God, if your heart is right, God will come and show you and say, now, Jason, you're desiring this, but that's not my will for your life. And so you'll have your desires, what I call sanctified or adjusted, and then you'll begin to desire the right thing. And God will help walk you along into His desires and His will for your life. I'm not teaching some silly little quick, get-rich-quick scheme, you know, push this button, push that button, and out pops your miracle. I'm preaching relationship, a life that's submitted to the will of God and desires to do the purpose of God. And when you believe in your heart what God has said, not only in His Word, but what God has said to you personally, what He's promised to you by His Spirit, and you begin to speak it forth with declaration, proclamation, fervency, and earnestness, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I want to find your way to Deuteronomy 28. I'm through teaching out of the Word. We're going to have a little prayer workshop here in a minute, a blessing workshop. Deuteronomy 28. But while you're turning there, I want to read you two paragraphs from this book by Gordon Lindsay. Now, I've mentioned Gordon Lindsay. Some of you are not aware of Gordon Lindsay. He's with the Lord now. This man is with the Lord now. But his wife is the 79-year-old woman that I was telling you about. He and his wife founded Christ for the Nations Bible Training Center in Dallas, Texas. Did you know they've graduated over 20,000 students over the years? 20,000. Only heaven will tell. Only heaven will tell what's been accomplished by many of those students. But this is a book. It's a classic. I love this book. It's called Prayer That Moves Mountains. Gordon Lindsay, an all-time bestseller. Hallelujah. From CFN Books. And this chapter is called The Secret of Daily Contact. Now listen. Amazing. God has ordained certain laws for the governing of this universe. In no sphere is the immutableness of these laws more evident than in the realm of prayer. Successful prayer means daily contact with God. When a man's spiritual life begins to deteriorate, generally the cause can be traced to a lack of consistent daily prayer. Now, have we seen that in our day or what? Those who have investigated have been amazed to learn the small amount of time many people, even ministers, give to real prayer. Perhaps 5 or 10 minutes a day are spent in saying prayers and they are up and on their way. No wonder the forces of darkness are able to mobilize against them and in some cases completely paralyze and discredit their efforts. Now here's what really grabbed me. The things of which a successful life is made are shaped in the crucible of the daily hour of prayer. God must work with the material given Him. Listen to this. God must work with the material given Him. And if there is a lack of material made available, He is limited in what He can do. Many people do not realize that there is an actual substance to prayer. There's an actual substance. Everybody say substance. And I'll have you write this down. We're not going to turn there because I just don't feel like we need to. But you write this down. Revelation 5, verse 8. And Revelation 8, verse 5. It's interesting. Revelation 5, verse 8. And Revelation 8, verse 5. Those verses tell us that prayer is so real that God puts prayers in little golden cups up in heaven. And so if we could go to heaven, guess what? There would be a prayer cup department. And you would go up to your angel and you'd say, whatever your name is, Jason Peebles. They'd look at the computer and you're hoping it's there. Boy, oh God, please let it be there. Hallelujah. They find you. Could I see my prayer cup? And so they're going to get your prayer cup. And I'd like to just ask you, is there any substance in your prayer cup? Prayer is so real that it says God puts the prayers of the saints in golden vials or golden bowls. And then Revelation 8:5 says that He takes those prayers and pours them back out on the earth to accomplish His purposes. So in other words, miracles are made from prayer substance. Now listen to this. Many people do not realize that there's an actual substance of prayer that there is, may be seen in Revelation 8:5, where God stores up the prayers of His saints for use at the proper time. In a vital way, the prayers of God's people have a part in the execution of His plan on earth. So God gets your prayer cup, and He looks in it, and He says, just about filled up for this project or this miracle. And once it's filled up, He can pour. That man has faith. He didn't even flinch. Come over here. He can pour. Hallelujah. And, you know, when God looks at mine, He finds a six-pack Holy Ghost. Pop your top container. And He dips His finger in and He creates miracles. Gotcha. Creates miracles.
Amen.
I can see these women. It's silk, please. It's silk. Don't. And God takes that substance and creates miracles. In a very real way, when we bless our children, we're putting substance on them. We're putting substance on them. Literal substance. Literal substance. You say, well, how can prayers be stored? Don't ask me. How can my voice be stored? Years ago, that would have baffled the mind. How can I be talking and I've just got a little antenna? Thank God it doesn't shock you. Amen? You'd be just going around all over the place like that. I don't know. Yeah, with the mob water, it's dangerous. I don't know how my voice can go in this microphone and shoot out this antenna, swing across the atmosphere, go back there, and it's recorded on a tape. I mean, I know that it happens, and I understand some, but I really don't understand that. How are my prayers literally stored and used at the appropriate time? I don't understand that. I just know that when I spend time praying, decreeing, blessing, proclaiming, that I'm giving God material to work with. Amen. Now, here's what we're going to do. We talk today about Deuteronomy 28. For those of you that weren't here, just take my word for it. Do not pray and decree anything beyond verse 14. All right. Just take my word for it. You don't want anything that goes beyond verse 14. This chapter tells us in detail what the blessings are, and then it tells you in explicit detail what all the curses are. Point is this, we qualify for the blessings because of Jesus. Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Stand to your feet, and we're going to have a blessing workshop. You say, what do I do? Here's what you do. You simply take your Bible. Now, it's going to sound like the day of Pentecost in here because you've all got different versions of the Bible and you're going to, you know, somebody will be on verse 2 and taking their time and somebody's all the way down to verse 4. But here's what I want you to do. It would not be proper for me to teach on this without showing you what you need to start doing. Now, honey, don't understand that this is just something you do at church. I'm showing you what to do in a very quick 5-minute workshop fashion, but it's up to you to take this same principle, go home and spend time praying this. Find favorite passages like Psalm 91, begin to speak and proclaim that in the Spirit, and learn to release blessings on a regular daily basis.
Right.
Give God some substance. Here's how you do it. Follow me now. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 28. I'll just take a couple verses to show you. Don't just stand there and read it. I'm not talking about reading it. I'm talking about proclaiming it, decreeing it. You start out like this. It shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Father, I just thank you that I'm a man. I'm a woman. I thank you, Father, I'm a man that hears your voice. I know your voice. Lord, make me more sensitive to your voice. I want to hear your voice and know your voice. It shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Father, I thank you that you're in the process of setting me above every enemy, every power. Father, I thank you that I'm obedient to your voice. I thank you that my wife hears your voice and is obedient to your voice. Verse 2, look at verse 2. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Father, I thank your blessings are not only coming on me, they're chasing me down. Oh, glory to God, the blessings are after me. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city. Father, I thank you that whether you businessmen get hold of this, whether I'm calling a big city with a big corporation or whether I'm visiting in a little town, Father, I thank you I'm blessed wherever I go. My presentations and my proposals are blessed. They're falling to the right hands. I thank you, God, I'm blessed. Verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Not only your children, but did you know your body has intricate hormones, enzymes, chemical balances? Father, I thank you the fruit of my body is blessed. I thank you I'm healthy and whole. Those of you that are sick, well, black brother, I can't say that because I'm sick. That's why you need to say it. Put your children in there. Put your wife in there. Put your husband in there. In other words, take this and personalize it and begin to decree it. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Father, make this very real. Some people, this is the first time they've ever done anything like this. It'll seem awkward speaking out loud and other people speaking around them. But Lord, make it very real. Make it a part of their life is my prayer. In Jesus' name. I know your flesh is saying, don't say that. Don't do this. Listen to the Spirit. The Spirit says, do it. All right, go ahead. Do it loud enough to hear yourself, but not so loud as to disturb those around you. Go ahead. Begin with verse 1. Do it out loud. You got to do it out loud. Begin to do it out loud. Do it with some enthusiasm, not just mealy mouth, milk toast. Do it with some fervency. Proclaim it. Decree it. In Jesus' name. Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this cassette message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word around the world. We are living in one of the most exciting times in history, and it's friends just like you who make it possible for us to reach our generation. Here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're doing it right now through conferences, cassette tapes, literature, and radio. The second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries who are working in many nations. These are full-time families, most of whom have been to Bible school and many to language school. And they are now serving on the mission field through our office. And our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize that there are still millions of people around the world who have not yet been reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word.
The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. If this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a moment to contact our office and let us know. The easiest way to do it is to simply call our toll-free number and tell one of our secretaries that you desire to become a monthly partner. We will record your commitment and then contact you by mail. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month, or you may prefer to give variable amounts each month. Whatever you can do will be greatly appreciated. So please prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Call 1-800-832-WORD. That's 1-800-832-WORD. Or you can write to World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box B, Marietta, Georgia, 30061. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today.